Thank you, Lord. When I figure it out, when I get it in my mind, when I understand how great he is and all that he has done for me, then sings my soul. Then sings my soul. When I understand it. When I see God in all of his glory, then sing my soul, how great thou art. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are great, you are awesome, you are mighty, you are loving, you are kind, and you are gracious. And we thank you for allowing us to come together one more time in the house of the Lord. And so we praise you, we lift your name on high, and we say thank you, Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Please be seated, praise the Lord. Amen. Then sings my soul, how great thou art. Amen. Look at baby Ralph. My goodness. Everybody's growing up around here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good afternoon, all the precious saints of God. We just thank the Lord. Amen. For being in the house of the Lord. That song just wears me out. Amen. When I consider how great our God is, when I think about what he has done for me, hallelujah. See, there come a time, I'm not talking about the public now, I'm talking about for me. And think about where God has brought me from, what he has spared me from. Hallelujah. You mean to tell me this great and awesome God have written my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life? To know that when I step out of here, I step into his presence. And I'll be saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world, the whole earth is full of his glory. Oh, then sings my soul, how great thou art. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Is he great today? Has he shown himself great in your life? Has he brought you from a mighty long way? Has he healed your body? Have he gave you a new mind and a new heart and a new start? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Has he comforted you?
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
I'm talking about way over in the midnight hour. Where you can call on Jesus any time of day or night. Thank you, Lord. Do you understand what we've tapped into? We've tapped into the one who spoke and the universe came into existence. Just think about that for a moment. Man, and you, let me get this straight. So God knew me before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Has a plan for me and for you. Amen. Well, happy Palm Sunday. Praise the Lord. Happy Passion Week. Here this Palm Sunday stands for so many things, but here now we're a week out from Jesus saying it is finished and rising from the grave. But Jesus in this Passion Week shows us his passion. That Jesus was going here, there, and everywhere on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that he's going to die, and he's doing some great and awesome things in the midst of the people. So today we're going to look at a portion of this because we have four writers, but we're just going to look at John's account. Mm-hmm. Go look at John 12 through 19. You know, I'm going to use for a thought today. Get ready. The king is coming. It would be nice for me to just to say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Amen. Because the king is coming. How many believe the king is coming? Listen, I'm not talking about King David. Now, he was a good king, but anybody looking for David to come? I believe Esther said, if I die, let me die, but I'm going to see the king. That was a heathen king, Artaxerxes. We're not talking about him. You know, the worst king that Israel ever had was Ahab. We're not looking for him. But see, the King Jesus, he's coming back again.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And so we're going to look at this on today. When I think about a king, I think about kingdom. There is a king, and that denotes to me sovereignty. That denotes to me power. Right. That denotes to me authority. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So get ready. What does it mean to get ready? We need to be ready because we're going to see some things today that all the folks weren't ready. So let's look at some scriptures on today. But, you know, even before we get into John 12, you know, there's a couple of times in scripture where it's been mentioned Jesus, the King of the Jews. And the first time it was mentioned was not by anybody Jewish. It's about three wise men who probably came from Persia. In Matthew 2, 1 and 2, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, here's another king who was rotten, who was no good. It says, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying something. What were they saying? Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Hear these heathens, hear these folks and got a word that the King of the Jews is born and we want to come see him.
All right.
Even in their announcement, they said, get ready.
Thank you.
Not only is he coming, he showed up already. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, so God was doing some awesome thing. Jesus, you know, last week we talked about Zacchaeus. Where, remember, he said to Zacchaeus, today I must abide in your house. I must come over to your house, man. And here this man was rotten. He was a tax collector for the Romans. He had all those issues. But when Jesus got through with him, you know, did anybody know that God would change your life? I mean, he will turn it around. That man,
hallelujah,
after he had an encounter with Jesus, he said, half of my goods I'm giving to the poor. This stuff don't mean nothing to me no more. And whatever I took from lying, I'm going to pay back four times. Been changed. See, somebody said there's a great change have taken place in me. And so here in John 12 is right the next chapter after John 11, where that whole story about Lazarus, who was sick unto death and died. And Jesus went to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. Who else can? Now listen, who else can do that? Let me see, could King David have done that? Could King Hezekiah have done that? But King Jesus raised the dead. Called the man by his name, took the mummy clothes off of him, said, loose him and let him go. The man went rejoicing. So we're going to see something today as a follow-up to that. So let's start in verse 9. You know what? Let me just read 9 through 19, and then we'll kind of unpack this thing and see what the Lord have to say for us on today, all right? Amen. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he, meaning Jesus, was there. Now, mind you, it's a lot happening here because it's some great things, some stuff that we're not used to seeing has happened. Because all the funerals I've been to, I've never seen nobody get up. He said, okay, let me read this. Now, great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. But the chief priest, because this thing is getting tight. You know, I said I'm going to read through it. I'll come back and unpack it. But the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death also. Because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. I'm just talking about get ready because the king is coming. Verse 12, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, the Passover feast that is, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Jesus and cried out, Hosanna, my God, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Verse 14, then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, and as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they had heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after Jesus. The Pharisees had a problem. Houston, we have a problem. All of their control over the people as these religious zealots was waning because this King Jesus was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. He was going to the lowly and the meek and the downtrodden. He had to go through Samaria to see a woman that was full of sin and broken and shattered and battered in the heart and on his way to the cross. As Chucky said when he was doing a praise and worship, praise God for praise and worship today, and the prayer and scripture went forth. It was really something that was going on. Let me put it that way. It was a lot happening in Jerusalem. It's a lot happening in our nation today. So here you have Jesus going about doing some great and awesome things for people. And here you have the enemy that's angry and mad and want to kill him. I don't know if I'd want to be in Jerusalem at that time or not. This don't look like it was going to be a very, it was a lot going on there, right? And so here we see, when I look at verse 9 and verse 10, it shows you the heart of the Pharisees. Now, mind you, Jesus came, John 1 and 11 say, Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Get ready, because the king is coming. There's some things we'll see in this passage that should prompt us today to really think about getting ready, being ready, knowing that we're ready. Because Jesus is coming again.
Hallelujah.
We should not get complacent today, picking daisies on the side of the road, and just la-di-da through life. This thing is getting tight. Every word of God is right. Jesus was prophesied 700 years before he came, not only his birth, but his death. And sure enough, he came, was born, and lived a perfect life in our place that we couldn't live, and died on the old rugged cross and rose up on the third day. We need to get ready. We need to be ready. We need to know that we're ready for Jesus. And it starts in our heart. It starts in our mind. It starts in our spirit. Whose side are you leaning on? I'm leaning on the Lord's side. I'm talking about that side that never gives way. So it was a lot going on, but to think about this, here Jesus have raised a man from the dead, you would think everybody in town would be rejoicing. You would think it's like, whoo, Barbara, did you see that? That's old Lazarus over there was dead. Look, he's sitting at the dinner table. How could that make anybody mad? But it gets worse because it says, not a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Listen to this. Now, this is cold-blooded. Do you know today people are saying stuff that makes no sense at all? Do you know there's some cruel and wicked things that are happening in this world that we're living in? We need to be well aware of the times and the season we're living in. That's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5. He said, brothers and sisters, it's no need for me to write unto you about the times that we're living in. For you yourselves know that perfectly well that the Lord so come as a thief in the night. And listen, and Paul said, when men cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as a woman with child. So look at this. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death. Premeditated murder on a man who was already dead and been raised up. Y'all gonna kill him? He didn't even do nothing. What did Lazarus do? Can you imagine what Lazarus might be thinking? He get the word, hey, the Jews want to kill you. I've been dead already. Man, what did I do? And some people say, well, Jesus the one who raised me up. That show you how wicked a heart can get. The Jew, because account, and was why they would put Lazarus to death? Because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed Jesus. They went away from the status quo. They went away from the stuff that's been ingrained in them. And those Jews who believed had started getting themselves together and say, the king is here. The king is coming. There's something different about this man. This is not no ordinary man. This is not just Mary's baby. This is something about it. Nobody ever spoke like this man before. Nobody's ever done the things that this man has done before. So Jesus, he breaks into town. In other accounts like Luke and Matthew, it said he had got two of the disciples and told them, go into the city. Now, see, God knows everything. I don't know everything pretty much. Sometimes I wonder, what do I know? But Jesus, being omniscient, being all-knowing, and in control of everything, he said, look, go into town. You're going to find a little donkey tied up. You go get him. Bring it to me. If anybody asks you what you're doing, what you're doing with a Grand Theft donkey, I know GTA and Grand Theft Auto, but GTD. Grand Theft Donkey. If anybody asks you, why are you untying this donkey? All you got to do is say, the master have need of him. And they're going to say, go on and take him. And so John in his Gospels, he skipped that part. And so when he skips that part, face ID, when he skips that part, it said, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, means save now. Save now. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. How important is it for us to come in the name of the Lord? See, I shouldn't be doing nothing because Kermit said this is the thing that's going to happen. If I share with someone, it should be in the name of the Lord, from God's word, and with a heart turned toward heaven. Hallelujah. We want people to see Jesus. We want people to come to know him in a very personal way. So they cried out, can you patch all of these people in town for the Passover? And here, all of a sudden, people is crying, Hosanna, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he come riding on a donkey. Something's happening because the Jews of that day and from when the prophecies first started coming, they're looking for the Messiah, the Christ, to deliver them from the hand of the Roman Empire. They were looking for the Messiah to come and to put Rome down and lift them up. And so this is what yet they had in their mind. And they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Woo, blessed is he who coming. This is our king. Oh, lay out the palm branches, the big old, lay them out and let and put and just let him ride on into town. And again, he came in through the sheep gate. And then he's on a donkey. Where's the white horse? Where's the Clydesdale? You know, where's Fury? Some of y'all old enough to remember him. Where's the big old horse and all the pomp and splendor? Remember, Jesus came meek and lowly, humble and holy. My God. And so they took bread. They cried out. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, he knew where it was going to be. And here, and see, this is why it's important to know Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. See, you know, a lot of time people are trying to figure out, well, let me see, I think that the Bible says this, and I think it means this. No, the Bible speaks for itself. And so where it says here, for Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, said on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming. Hundreds of years before this was prophesied. This shows us the inerrancy of Scripture. That you can take God at his word and you can stand on it. He said, and behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. That's from Zechariah 9:9. God's word is coming true. Listen, if it was good then, it's good now. How many believe that he's coming back again? See. So, my God. And matter of fact, in Luke's account of this situation, when the people were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name. Guess what the Pharisees, the same ones who wanted to kill Jesus, guess what they said? Jesus, you ought to tell them to be quiet. You ought to tell them people to hold their peace. And you know what Jesus, our Lord, said to them? Man, he said, it's power that's operating right now. Yeah. I'm on a mission for my Lord. I'm headed to the cross, and I'm looking to save as many folks as I can. So what Luke's account is, Jesus said, listen, fellas, if these hold their peace, yeah. Oh, my God, if these quit saying Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord, if they stop crying, the rocks will start crying out. I can imagine, boy, them Pharisees looking like a gorilla chewing lemons. Get a visual on that one, right? Can you understand the power of that statement that Jesus said? He wasn't joking. He was no longer being discreet about who he was. He's on a mission. He came to die. And he said in the house and all other, you know, in some of the other accounts, we find that he cursed the fig tree. We find that during this time as he's headed for Jerusalem to die, he went and cleaned out the temple. Say, y'all done turned my father's house into a den of thieves. Jesus on Passion Week, oh, he was making the rounds, praise the Lord. You ever hear that old song, come by here, dear Lord. Somebody needs you. Come by here, dear Lord. Somebody's praying, God. Come by here, dear Lord. Somebody's sick today, God. Oh, God, come by here today. I need a blessing from on high. That's the God we serve. His disciples did not understand these things. Now, how many times had Jesus told the disciples, listen, fellas, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. And I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be given into the hands of sinners, and I'm going to die and raise up the third day. Oh, Peter, he said, oh, no. Don't even say that. Jesus, no, not you. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan, for you're an offense. He wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he was saying what you're saying is opposite of what God is saying and what he's called me to do. So we in a time where we need to know what God is saying to the church today. What are we doing? We're not just religious folks. We're not coming to the house of the Lord out of duty. We're not going to the prisons and the homeless encampment just to do something and say, hey, y'all, look, we're here. We're here on mission. Because Christ have told us to do something. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believe not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Woo. Is it true today? Is God's word still true? Do we understand our marching orders? Are we getting ready because the king is coming? Thank you, Lord. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, he wasn't glorified up on the cross, bludgeoned, bloody pulp, emaciated. He was in a bad. He wasn't glorified then. When they took him down and put him in the ground, he wasn't glorified then. But early that Sunday morning, thank you, God. Jesus got up. Somebody said, can't no grave hold this body down. Thank you, Lord. And so they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. It's good, saints, for us to remember. If you're in a place today that's better than you've ever been, don't forget who brought you to this place. Not this physical place, but this place in your life. Yeah. This place in your heart, this place in your mind. When it used to be anger and frustration and hatred and variance, and now it's love, joy, and peace. Who did that? And the same one who's done that in us, he said, I'm coming back again. Thank you, Jesus. He said, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, they bore witness. Any witnesses in here today of some things that God has done? Have you seen anything that God has done? Oh, thank you, Lord. Them women the other night in revival at the prison, LWOPs, life without paroles. I'm talking about praising God. Singing to the glory of God. I'm like, whoa. I leave out of the prison. I'm like, okay, what am I complaining about? Okay, let me get this straight. What is my problem? Because here some people have embraced Jesus Christ. And all they see is that yard, and they sail every day, week after week, month after month, year after year. But they found Jesus because they know that he's coming back again. Woo. Not only is he coming back again in the by and by, he's showing up right now. He's setting people free right now. He's delivering folks right now. He's loosing the pain of guilt and shame right now. That's why we prompt people to embrace Jesus Christ. He'll set you free. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. He said, for this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, hey, fellas, hey, you with the big robe on, come over here, let me tell you what's happening. He said, you see that you are accomplishing nothing here. You want to kill Lazarus, that ain't going to help. You want to kill Jesus, he ain't allowed that to happen yet. So we accomplishing nothing, he said, but the whole world has gone after Jesus. Amen. I don't know about the whole world, but I can speak for me. I'm running for Jesus. Those songs, I've been running for Jesus a long time. Haven't got tired yet. Ooh, God, hallelujah. Amen, amen. So it's very important to see and understand what's happening. Over in John 19:14, it said, now it was the preparation day of the Passover. Now this is days after. Jesus is now been arrested. He's now almost to that place for what he came to do was to die for your sin and for mine. Remember, the people were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hallelujah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, let's put down the palm leaves. Let's make some noise. Our king is coming to town. And a few days later, now it was the preparation day of Passover, and about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, behold your king. This is Pilate, a heathen, recognizing, look, y'all want to kill this man. I don't know what y'all's problem is. What has he done? I don't know, but we want to kill him. Give us Barabbas. Well, he's a murderer and a thief. That's okay. Give us him and kill Jesus. Do you know that same spirit is running around here today? Don't confuse me with truth. That's the last thing I want. People, we live in a time people would rather believe a lie than the truth. But every word of God is true. Every word of God is right. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, behold your king. Listen to this. But they cried out, away with him. Wait a minute. You were just a few days ago saying, our king, blessed is he who's coming. They said, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Jews, descendants of David, heirs of the promise that came to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Scripture being fulfilled right before their eyes. And we don't have no king but Caesar. As they would say in those days, Kaiser. That's. You know what happened? You know what really happened? They gave up on the king. They gave up on the king. He evidently is not the one who's going to deliver us, because he ain't doing this stuff like we want it to be done. He's not. God is not moving like I want him to move. He's not doing what I want him to do. I'm giving up on him. Yeah, we may have said Hosanna. Yes, we may have seen Lazarus come up out of the grave, and we may have seen blind Bartimaeus receive his sight. The woman with the issue of blood dried up. But no, Caesar's our king. Because evidently, he's not the one who's going to deliver us. And if he's dead, then what are we going to do? Did Jesus die on the cross? What are we going to do? Did he rise from the grave? What are we going to do? Is he coming back again? What are we going to do? I'm not giving up on the king. I'm not giving up on my king. You shouldn't give up on your king, because our king is coming back again just like he said he would. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And you know, and so Pilate is the other one who said, yo king, the king of the Jews. Remember Jesus hanging on the cross? And he put an inscription on the cross, a sign on the cross. And it says over in John 19:19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. A heathen. Matter of fact, his wife said, okay, husband, Mr. Pilate, I had a dream last night. And in this dream, I think you better leave him alone. Well, baby, the people gonna get mad at me. You know, well, I don't know what Caesar's gonna say, so I gave them the green light to kill him. His wife probably fell out. Okay, I done told you. You know, what's the message in that? Man, listen to your wife. Is that asking too much? All right, back. So now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, John 19 and 19. So why am I saying today, get ready, because your king is coming. Jesus, again, he died on the cross. He rose on the third day. Mm-hmm. Everybody hadn't turned their back on Jesus, but people were bewildered. people were afraid. They did, the disciples, their life wasn't worth 10 cents. Because the Romans said, oh, y'all was with that man Jesus. Someone like, who? But there's others who were believing because Jesus began to show himself. 40 days, he showed people that he, that look, you don't believe it's me? Look, watch these, look at these holes in my hand. And the Messiah, no, I'm him. And what was it, Doubting Thomas? Everybody get on poor Doubting Thomas. He said, he told his buddies, look, I'm not going to believe until I see the wounds in his side and in his hands. And Jesus walked through the door. Now, you wouldn't have a problem if you saw Sister Perry, Sister Sandy come walking this way. But if she came through that wall, you'd say, okay, exit stage left. But Jesus, he rose from the dead. Remember when Jesus said, nobody take my life? So on one hand, yes, they killed, they crucified Jesus. He allowed them to do it. Did you know, he said, I could call for legions of angels, wipe all of y'all out if I chose to. But see, love said, I'm not going to do that. He said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. And I have the power to take it up again. Who else can say that? You know, I'm getting older and younger in my ministry. I did so many weddings, but now I'm doing so many funerals for folks my age and in that age group. Time brings about a change. But so Jesus rose, he showed himself to the people, and get this, let's go to Acts 1, 9 through 11 real quick. So Jesus rose, he showed himself to disciples, they getting buffed up again. Oh yeah, yeah, he rose just like he said. It said over in John 12, remember, they remembered what Jesus had said, and now what Jesus had said had come to pass. Listen, we today need to believe that whatever God has said in his word and whatever he has said to you by his spirit, you can take it to the bank. Don't give up on the king. Hold on. Be still and know that he is God, church. Get ready. The king is coming. So, okay, Jesus now, it's about time for him to go back to his father. And in Acts 1, 9 through 11, now when Jesus had spoken these things while they watched, the scene is, Jesus is ministering to the folks. He's saying some things, and they know, okay, wait, let's get to it. We remember when he was in the court. We remember hung on the cross. We remembered he died. He said it is finished. He gave up the ghost. We put him in the tomb. Then we remember that the word got out that Jesus is no longer in the tomb, that his angels been being seen and earthquakes and stuff been happening, and the tomb is empty. And now we're seeing, and he's converted. He even ate some fish with us after the crucifixion and resurrection. And so now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched Jesus, picture this, Jesus is talking to them. They watching him, and the Bible say he was taken up. Taken up, okay, he just sat up straight? No. He was taken up, and a cloud received him. Oh, I wish we had the time to just run outside and see if we see a cloud. Yep, that's what happened. Jesus was taken up in the cloud, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Okay, look steadfastly toward heaven. No, they was like, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Double, whoa, triple, whoa. Whoa. Jesus then zoom up. I don't know about y'all, but I'd be gazing too. I'd probably be mortified. I'd be locked in like this. You know, I remember years ago, it was a homeless guy downtown L.A. with a megaphone. Where he got that thing from, I don't know. He was in bad shape, but he had a message. You go downtown around there, down around Los Angeles and 7th Street or something, he had this microphone. He said, y'all going to hell all day long. You drive down, y'all going to hell. I said, who is this guy? He had a message. But here they see Jesus is taken up in the cloud toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men by them in white apparel, angels in white apparel, said, okay, men of Galilee, believers and unbelievers alike, let us tell y'all something here. He said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing in heaven? They probably said, hey, hello, what you just saw is real. This Jesus, he went faster than the space shuttle. He went faster than SpaceX. You know, in today's time, you know, if you see a space shuttle, which they don't have no more, or you see SpaceX, Elon Musk ships that go to the space station, in 8 minutes, you're in outer space. It didn't take Jesus no 8 minutes. It didn't even take him 8 seconds. Boom, whoa. Listen, this is important. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus. Y'all help me say this same Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I asked you earlier, have you been healed by the Lord? Yeah. This same Jesus. Mm-hmm. The one who saved you, this same Jesus. Mm-hmm. The one that you're hoping and trusting in now that he's going to deliver you from affliction that you're in, this same Jesus. Yeah. He said, these two angels said, the same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him come or go into heaven. Guess what? He's coming back again. Get ready, because the king is coming again. He's coming back, saints. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he said, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. The Lord is coming back. And when the trumpet sounds, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. My God, my God. Sister Camille, could you pull up 1 Thessalonians 4:13, please? Mm-hmm. While she's getting that, this is some heavy stuff. Jesus said, because we need to get ready. Revelation 22:12-13. Oh, did you get that already? Oh, no, okay. Let me get Revelation. And Jesus said this in the book of Revelation. And behold, I am coming quickly. Yeah. What do quickly mean in the Greek, Dan? Or in the Hebrew? Or in Espanol? It means pronto, huh? Or in Oklahoma, right now. You know, not that mousy kind of rat either. He said, behold, I come quickly. Okay, say, listen to this. Do you all know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently and faithfully seek him? Sister Carolina, he does. He knows who we are. Behold, I'm coming quick, and my reward is, you mean God has more for me? To give everyone according to his work. Get ready, because the king is coming. Hallelujah. What do my work look like? I'm not working to be saved. But working is a fruit of salvation. He's coming to my life and he's giving me a new heart and a new mind. He said, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That being the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God Almighty, he's coming back again. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he's... Hold on, let me grab that real quick here. Let me leave you with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters. See, sometimes we just hear certain scriptures at a funeral. But it's not always a funeral, because the old man in me have died. And there's a new man living in me, and the new man has hope. The new man has a future. The new man has a new home to go to. Somebody said, there's a new home over in glory for me. There's a new name in glory. He said, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, concerning those who have died, who has fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Have you ever seen sometimes somebody just can't, they don't have any hope, they can't make it because mama died, wife died, somebody died, and they want to just die themselves? No, no, no. God said, live and declare the glory of God. Yeah. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everybody have an appointment. So while we're here, we need to be about our Father's business. While we're here, we need to be getting ourselves together to be caught up out of here. Just as Jesus was caught up, guess what? We're going to be caught up. Let me show you what the word said. He said, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many believe that today? That Jesus died and he rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you, why? By the word of the Lord. Nothing I drummed up. But by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, anybody alive right now, oh, glory be to God. Get ready. The king is coming back, and we don't know when, but we know he's coming back. Right. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, oh, God, for y'all help me with this. Say, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be. I didn't hear you say always be. We shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, oh my God, therefore, comfort one another. Comfort each other with these words. In your trials, comfort one another. In your situations, give glory to God. Get ready, because the king is coming back again. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Question, are you ready?